Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is a brainstorm. This fun brainstorm comes to us today from my friend Lindsay, who is a like-minded soul and finds all sorts of quirky topics. So one of the topics that she sent me was an article about how pinball used to be illegal. And that was an eye-catcher for me. Like, what?
What?
But then I started thinking about it, and the place where you would find pinball for me growing up would be in bars. And so I never played much pinball because I wasn't in bars as a child. Kudos to you, mom and dad. But the story behind that is kind of interesting, actually, which is why we're talking about it today.
Okay.
Quick history of pinball. It has been around in some form or other since 18th century France. Bagatelle was an older game that used a table and balls, kind of like miniature pool or billiard.
Oh.
And in 1871, the British inventor Montague Redgrave, which is definitely going to be my next fake name when I need one somewhere. Montague Redgrave. He was granted a patent for improvements in bagatelle, and basically he made it smaller, he used marbles instead of large balls, and he added springs and plungers. So that's kind of the advent of modern pinball. And in 1931, several different types of pinball games were released. One was called Bingo, Baffle Ball, and my favorite, Ballyhoo.
How very PG Woodhouse.
Yes, totally. Yes. And those were all flat tables, and they did not have what we would think of as modern pinballs with those little round bumpers in the middle and the tilt mechanism. So people would end up like tilting and shaking the table to cheat the game or to like to get the ball to move. So it evolved over that decade. In 1934, the tilt mechanism was invented that the table can actually move and shift that ball around and shake it. And then the bumper came to be, those are those round mushroom shaped pegs in the middle that it strikes them and they change direction. Those were invented around 1937.
So why were they illegal?
So the era was in the 30s that pinball was really developed and refined into what we know of today as pinball. So consider the Depression era society. Money is scarce, but kids are paying money to go play their pinball. And so the argument for why should this be illegal, except for tipping the machines, players were at the mercy of the random bounce of the ball. And so the arguers for this would say that they're gambling on this without, there's no way they're going to win. It's in the favor of the carnival or whoever has this. And the prizes are interesting. If you won the game, you were potentially awarded a prize of like a free game or gum and jewelry and chinaware. Now we just play the game for the glory of seeing your name in the lights. But apparently prizes were expected at that point.
Huh.
So churches and school boards argued that it corrupted morals of America's children by encouraging them to steal coins, skip school in order to play, and even potentially going hungry by wasting their money on the frivolous pursuit of pinball, which certainly children could be spending the milk money on pinball. I can absolutely see that as a child who bought many a Jolly Rancher with money that was not intended for that. And in the Depression era, that was a much bigger deal. Another factor in that legality piece was many of the manufacturers were in the Chicago area, which was a center for organized crime.
So you're playing a mob game.
Yeah, they said that the manufacture of these pinball games, certain parts of that had a mob link. So there's lots of things where the Prohibition era folks had some big problems with pinball. So you would see people in government smashing pinball machines and dumping them into harbors. But the big one that started the ball rolling for making this illegal is, what are you giggling about?
Getting the ball rolling.
Oh. The hilarity oozes from me without even my knowledge.
You didn't even try. No. It's just there.
All right. Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia said the pinball industry took in millions of dollars a year from the pockets of school children in the forms of nickels and dimes, given them as lunch money. He called them insidious nickel stealers.
Oh,
yeah. And in the era of post Pearl Harbor, it was also framed as wasteful because the machines were made from copper and aluminum and nickel, and the production of those took away from the war effort. In 1942, they would raid candy stores and bowling alleys and confiscated 2,000 machines. And so the law went into effect on January 21st, 1942, that pinballs couldn't be in public spaces.
Wow. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. The harvest of contraband pinballs was said to contain enough metal to build 4 2,000-pound aerial bombs. So it took a long time for people to reverse this law. Milwaukee and Chicago and New Orleans and Los Angeles and the big cities followed New York's lead and banned those. And so they were kind of an underground thing. And so in bars or places like that. And that's why there's kind of an association with the rebel culture, like the greasers with their leather jackets and cigarettes and those greaser haircuts kind of have, even still, have that association with pinball machines.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Who knew? All of these things, as I read them, I'm like, this makes sense. This is why all the big pinball machines, like there's a ton of them from the 70s, because that's the next part of our story.
Oh,
because they're not banned anymore for the most part. In 1974, the California Supreme Court ruled that pinball was more a game of skill than a game of chance. And so that started the ball rolling the other direction. New York was much more reluctant to, New York was very reluctant to bring back what they considered rampant vice and gambling. So the Amusement and Music Operators Association actually recruited a top pinball player named Roger Sharp, who was also a writer. And he demonstrated his skill on the machine, which was set up in a Manhattan courtroom where the council met. And one of the ways he did that was he's like, you know, in pool where they call a shot, he called a shot and he did it. So he was able to say, I'm going to do blah, blah. This isn't just a game of chance. I can actually develop skill. And they're like, okay. It's because he was able to do what he said he would.
Wow.
So this is the late 70s, which is also when like Atari started to become a thing. So as pinball is suddenly like, all right, it's fine. This very physical and mechanical game is suddenly competing with screens. So the pinball heyday in unrestricted modern society is fairly brief. It's still a big industry.
Mm-hmm.
There are more than 1,800 pinball tournaments a year across the country.
What?
And they offer prizes in the range of $1 million, some of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, they weren't wrong. It does lead to vice. No.
That's right. Corruption and vice. I just did not expect that long history, but it does explain why there's lots of, you know, people on Camaros on those pinball games. And this is the very 70 vibes of a lot of pinball machines that I have seen.
Yeah.
70s, early 80s. That seems to be the boom time for them.
Huh.
That's my pinball brainstorm.
Wow. Now I really want to go play pinball.
Me too. In sort of a divey bar.
Oh, or like a bowl. I'm trying to think the last place that I played pinball. Wow, we need to find a bowling alley, a skeezy bowling alley.
Yep. Amusement parks. We can go out to Silverwood. I think you can play pinball out there.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, yeah. Someday. Not now.
No. Nope.
Oh, I love that. It's fascinating.
I didn't even mention to you that one of the things that the Republicans did to try to take down JFK he was campaigning, because he was in a photograph that included him as a silent partner in an Indiana pinball operation. So it's this picture showing that he's among those people. And so the Kennedy administration's response to that was targeting interstate shipments of gambling type pinball machines and things as part of its campaign against organized crime.
Oh,
so pinball has a place in presidential history.
Wow. Oh my God. There's so many layers.
Yeah.
Huh. I think the sound of the paddles going clink clunk, that is such a distinctive sound.
Mm. Yep. It's great.
Mm. Oh my goodness. Well, do you have anything else that you want to say? Or
no, that's really all of it.
Okay. You can ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk, and we're on Facebook and Instagram as Brain Junk Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter as @MyBrainJunk. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored. And I have 2 quarters on the top of that thing, so I'm playing next.
Awesome.